ハリヒオサナラバトサナラブナトサナビヤンガラババハイテジャスヴィナバビタマストマデビシャChaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so continuing with Prabhupada's purport, on page 12, of Bhishma Dev's instruction. When these primary duties are properly discharged, there is no need of government of the people, by the people. In modern times, the people in general occupy the administration by the strings of manipulated votes. But they are never trained in the primary duties of the king. And that is also not possible for everyone. Because the idea is anybody can do it, but it's not exactly meaning any means. It's open that anybody with qualifications can do it. Does that make sense? It's just like the job is open, anybody can have it, but only those with engineering degrees can apply. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
So there has to be qualification. This idea of just anybody can do it. No, it's anybody with qualification. The idea of these modern concepts are actually to establish the Vedic principles. They're being flouted that they're the liberal elements. No, the Vedic is the liberal. The Vedic is not by birth. It's not by all these other things like that. It's by you actually have qualifications. So the idea is those with qualification should be able to render these services. Right? So those with administrative capability and with training then should be allowed to be take part in the governance. Right? But if they're not have that administrative ability, why they should do it, right? Everybody should stick to an occupation that's good for them. That's why Krishna says, don't do something that's not yours, right? Even if you can so-called do it nicely. But the problem is you'll only do the technique nicely. You won't actually have the proper attitude. Like a businessman can do administration, but what's going to be the purpose of running the country?
Making
to make money. You understand? So, therefore, even though he does an expert job, he runs it like a big corporation, it will still... It won't be governance. It'll be business.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's why people should stick to their own duty. Right? So the whole point is here is that you have to have the confidence of the people. You have to have the confidence of the leadership. Right? So there is an element of like that kind of voting. But it's not that just voting's enough. Right, because the common person, they don't know what is qualification. So if you train them in what's qualification, then they could do properly. Right, but if not, then you have to already, the leadership should already find those qualified. Then the people can choose, you understand? So these ideas of trying to get this liberal attitude... These are originally in the Veda. This is what's supposed to be the standard, but it's not done in this only exclusive way. Does that make sense? You have to have this combination. Right? Under the circumstances, the untrained administrators play havoc to make the subjects happy in all respects. So it's just about if they can make them happy, they stay in power. It's not about being in power to protect the citizens. On the other hand, these untrained administrators gradually become rogues and thieves and increase the taxation to finance a top-heavy administration that is useless for all purposes. So this element of large bureaucracies and all that are not so useful, right? They don't do anything much for the public. They fight with each other. Like before, they used to be, you know, the locals in America, the local states had their governments and their police. But because the thieves took advantage of this, they go across the border, steal in one state, go to the other, and there's no jurisdiction. So they make the FBI so that it had jurisdiction over all the states. Right, then you have to have other things, and then there's the drug guys, and then there's internal security. So there's like five or six different groups that all have the authority to work everywhere in America, and they fight with each other. Each one says, "No, this is our jurisdiction. No, that's our man. No, but he did the crime in our place." And it just goes on and on. So there's that's the active ones, right? Then you have the ones that sit on sit on their backside in their seats and then just lobby in this and politic, you know, say. So that's why this can't be the prominence. You need bureaucracy. You need all these practical elements, these aspects. But they have to be controlled by administrators who are trained. Right? It's not just a matter of he's popular. It has to be he's qualified and popular. Right? Popular is the secondary thing. He should be popular. But who should be popular, right? A trained guy. Otherwise, take one of the Hollywood, celebrities. They're popular. You can imagine it. Brad Pitt for president or something.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger, yeah, like that. You know,
Reagan
like that.
Was from that background.
Yeah, yeah. He was from that background. Yeah, it was really, really funny. I saw one of the things that they had just done a goof on it. They had from one of his old movies, like that, where he comes out, kind of does like the, the James Bond thing, you know, walks out and then pulls the gun, you know. They had that and then they went into the thing, you know. So it was kind of, yeah, like
actually,
that.
On a couple occasions, he quoted from movies he were in when he was addressing the people. Or
it's
Hollywood. I paid for this mic. It was like from a movie he did 20 years ago.
What? I'll be back.
Maharaj, yes. He says there that, you know, these politicians, they just try to make the people happy. But actually, the people don't know.
They don't become happy. But at least the point is at least if they're happy enough to vote for you, then that's all that matters. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that if you're not trained in the primary, then how you take care of all the little details. So if you don't have the character, you don't actually know what you're doing, right? In the way of protection, right? It's not about power; it's about protection, right? Protecting the people. But to protect the people, you have to have power, right? To have power, you have to have taxes. But it's only like that. So you don't need a top-heavy administration. That's just because nobody trusts anybody because nobody's trained. People are trained, then you can get by with much, much slimmer administration, right? So that means taxes are less, means people have more money, right? Like that. Actually, the qualified brahmanas are meant to give direction to the kings for proper administration in terms of the scriptures, like the Manu Samhita and Dharma Shastras of Parasara. Like, as Manu is the main, Parasara is then the refinement into a practical in the Kali Yuga. If Manu is not giving enough detail, right? It means the principle is there, but you need some detail, practical, then Parasara. The typical king is the ideal of the people in general. And if the king is pious, religious, chivalrous, and munificent, the citizens generally follow him. That's just the normal tendency. Such a king is not a lazy, sensuous person living at the cost of the subjects, but alert, because that's what people are worried about. You know, when you think of a monarch, then they think of sensuous, lazy, and living at the cost of the subject. But that's not at all. We've seen in the Vedic literature, that's not how any of the kings are. If they are, they're removed. But alert always to kill thieves and dacoits. The pious kings were not merciful to dacoits and thieves in the name of nonsensical ahimsa, nonviolence. The thieves and dacoits were punished in an exemplary way so that in the future no one would dare commit such nuisances in an organized form. That means individuals might do something, that's one thing, and it's dealt with on one level, right? Because someone who steals on their own is bad, but someone who organizes the crime, that's worse. Because that really is efficient, and it really, you know, how you say it, disturbs the public. Such thieves and dacoits were never meant for administration as they are now, right? And then they move up, right? Once you become so well established, then you'd run for government, right? You know, yeah. Your brother becomes the lawyer, you know, it's a whole thing. The taxation law was simple. There was no force, no encroachment. The king had a right to take one-fourth of the production made by the subject. In addition, the king had a right to claim a fourth of whatever wealth the subject allotted for charity or sent for some other purpose. So here's another detail. Yes?
That's about this, because where does this, in addition, that he has the right to claim one-fourth of the wealth allotted for charity come from? In the purport, in the Bhagavatam, it says, of one's allotted wealth, it doesn't say anything about the charity.
No, but charity is part of your allotted wealth.
It is?
Yeah. It means it's your wealth, it's your giving it away. So in other words, it's not that the king would necessarily use that for other things, but that would be used for welfare work and things, public works.
But he could claim that from the citizen?
That's what it says.
In addition,
the king has a right to claim a fourth of whatever wealth is subject allotted for charity or spent for some other purpose.
But my question is, where is that taken from? It's not from Bhagavatam directly.
No. This is from Mahabharata. This is Bhishmadev's instructions. Because the point is Mahabharata is just giving the main principles. The details are all there in Mahabharata, like that. So you'd also have to see exactly, you know, what it is that you're talking about here. Because sometimes it's that they're not creating anything, but they're getting something, or you know, things like that. Just like you take tax on someone who is generating something. But let's say businessmen, they don't necessarily generate anything, they trade. So on trade, there's duties. It's the same kind of thing. But they're moving with the goods, rather than here's land, they grew rice. So then it's obvious, okay, you got 100 sacks of rice, so 25 goes to the king. Right? But this is that, you know, they buy from him a sack of rice and then they're going to go sell it in the market. So now it's moving through, you know, the district, going to the town or wherever it's going. So then when it goes through an administrative area, they can take a duty. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then depending upon where it's come from, like let's say if it's come from the countryside, you know, from a long distance and it hasn't passed through any other administrative area, then no other duties have been taken. So you take more at that point. Now let's say he's passed through a few, so they would have all taken duties. So now you take less because it's come, you know what I'm saying? Same time that it's come from far, it's cost him more to transport it. You know, he has to stop at night, he has to keep it, you know, because everybody wants to make money. So you stay in the hotel, that's one thing. Your sack of rice, you also have to pay for it, taking up space, right? So you consider all that. So then at the end, if it's come from very far, the duty may be very small, right? Unless it's a luxurious item, then they can make great profit, then you take more. So it all has to be judged that the king should make, he should get his due, but the person who's generating profit should also get his. Because if he doesn't get a sufficient quantity, he's not inspired. You know, if the businessman thinks, I'm going to get a bigger amount, he works harder. Right? And if he gets to get a smaller amount, he just kind of works at a regular pace. So in other words, it should be balanced. The king shouldn't get less, but he shouldn't take more. Right? So that's the principle. And it's not that he has to take. Right? In other words, he has the right to take. But if there's great prosperity in that, or let's say last year there was great prosperity, so then in taking a quarter of the tax, it may have been equal to tax over many years. If this year then there's less production, he doesn't necessarily have to take tax, right? Because he already has a great amount. Because the idea is that that's what's there to maintain the country. If he needs, he can take. But he may also not take, right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that he has the right, but then that's why it says the word munificent. It means if he doesn't need, he's not greedy, he won't take. Like a vassal king, he doesn't have to take tax from him. He has the right to take tax, but he doesn't have to. Because maybe they're doing something, or they want to do some big project or something, you know, something with water or land, or, you know, do something for the public. The bigger king may not, he might not take tax, so that then they can use that there. But he'll send his men to see that they're doing that. But if instead then they are bolstering their army, then he'll come in with his men and take the tax. You understand? So in other words, if people are doing what they're supposed to be doing with their money, it's useful, it's righteous, then the king's, you know, going to support that. It's not about getting as much as you can. Is that okay?
Yeah, it just seemed that it would take some of the money that was meant for the brahmana, for example, and then he would
Those kind of things, you have to see what it means by here, a lot of for charity or spent for some other purpose, because of the feeding poor people or this or that. You have to see, because the king's going to do that also. You know what I'm saying? Because one person may give a lot here, but then they'll see that it's distributed. Because the point is if you're protecting the people, you want to see that they're all prosperous. Does that make sense? You know, it's like if you have a family that has, you know, that is functional, right? Then the point is everybody will be taken care of. Now, if there's extra, then you might start looking at luxurious things or a special project, you know, putting that extra wing on the house or making that other bathroom or, you know, going on that trip to the Caribbean, these kind of things, if there's extra. But if there's not, then it'll go into that. You know, and you'll even see is to the point maybe their own means their own difficulty, the parents may put more on the children. Right? Like that. But at the same time, not at the expense of them being able to function. That's the difference between the Vedic and the modern. The Vedic says you can't not take care of yourself where you can't function. Right, because that's not a benefit. Right. Like that.
The next sentence really balances this last sentence.
Okay.
One would never grudge
parting with it, because due to the pious king and religious harmony, there was enough natural wealth, namely grains, fruits, flowers, silk, cotton, milk, jewels, minerals, etc. And therefore, no one was materially unhappy. There was plenty. Like that, because the earth produced. The earth means jewels, and that we hear about. The ocean produces. The underneath the trees, that the roots of trees, it's produced. Right. That means there's so many places it's produced. I've heard about it. I think you've seen pictures, but you know, you never know what pictures are. But that there are beaches on the southern part of Africa that are fenced off, you know, full on barbed wire, the whole thing like that, with guys with machine guns, because on the beach are jewels. Like that. So that's the whole point. Before, you needed jewels, you went down to the beach and picked them up. So, you know, you went to all the trouble to pick up, you know, one bucket of diamonds, so the king can take a quarter of that. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. There was plenty. You planted, there was huge harvests. And the benefit of the harvest was so much greater. Nowadays you get fruit, it has no taste. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, does that make sense? Before, things had taste. They had value. So everything worked better. Like cooking on cow dung, you get the maximum amount of energy. Right, you cook on wood, a little less than that, coal less than that, you know, electricity, you know, gas, electricity, it just goes down. You know, probably microwave takes energy. As you eat, the energy goes into the food. You know, it just gets worse and worse. So the thing is even what little is produced is of very little value. But before there was so much, people had so much opulence. Right? Remember, Nanda Baba was a farmer. You know, how much wealth they had. You know, so it's just, that's the point, natural wealth. These other things aren't really that great in wealth.
I've had experience in many farms where there's an abundance.
Yes.
It's so easy, it's so natural to give.
Yeah.
On the city, the hard earned money is hard for a neighbor to come along and say, oh, here.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, yeah. That's I think it was. What was his name? Sue. can't remember, he was Italian, sannyasi.
Sumaka,
yeah. He used to travel and do, like, you know, he's kind of like Padayatra things through Italy, and they go through the villages. And everywhere you go, everybody invites you over, sits you down, gives you something to drink, something to eat. You know, it's just like there's no question you're going anywhere any too quickly. Everybody is so, you know, it's just like, you know, if you're walking by and they're all eating, you know, sit, they'll call you over, sit you down, you know, eat. So it's just, it's a natural thing. If you have abundance, then you're happy. So that's the point, is if those who produce have sufficient, they're happy to give. So that's why the king can't take too much tax. So 25, even here, this is maximum. But Prabhupada's mentioning this because Kali Yuga, it's always a time of distress. It's never like natural. It means if everything goes nicely, it's natural. Then the normal tax is 16.5%. That's the standard. But in emergency, 25. So, you know, now it's generally always emergency. Like that. Yes.
I probably would talk about 50%.
So 50% is never taxed. 50% is what you give in charity.
After taxation?
Yeah, it means if you're producing, right? In other words, if you're producing, then that's going to be, you produce 100 sacks of rice, and 25 is the, means after expense, right? Okay, 25 sacks of rice, you spent, it was one sack of rice to grow, so 99 sacks, so you can get 25% of 99, right? But in trade, then that'll be different. So tax is part, it means whatever it is, you have to make profit, right? Because you can't tax not profit. You know what I'm saying? Investments and all these paying labors, you can't count that, the overall. What's that? That's gross or net or
gross.
You can't tax gross. That's why it says trade. Anytime I've heard like temple authorities sitting down and discussing, it's always gross. That means they don't know what they're talking about. It has to be profit. Yes.
But in Australia, you pay an extra 10% on your gross income and then 30% after that.
No, it's just different tricks. All it is just tricks to get. That's why in the Vedic it's straightforward. It's 25% finished. You're a big person, you're a small person, it doesn't matter. Multinational is still 25%. Not that they pay 2% and the regular guy in the corner, he pays the, you know, 40%, you know, like that. No, it's everybody's the same. Because if everybody's the same, there's much less needed. Right? So that's the thing. Because the big guys give more money to these administrators, therefore then they tax them less. You know, but in the Vedic times it didn't work like that. So the citizens were rich in agriculture and animal husbandry, and therefore they had enough grains, fruits, milk, without any artificial needs of soaps and toilets, cinemas and bars. Right? Because you had sufficient. So, you know, you have a party, you eat something. Right? Right? The soaps, dirt's there, right? It works really well. In fact, it works better like that. It doesn't dry your skin out, right? The king had to see that the reserved energy of humanity was properly utilized. Human energy is meant not exactly for fulfilling animal propensities. Not exactly means you fulfill the animal propensities, but that's not the goal, right? People have to eat, sleep, make, and defend, but that's not the goal. The goal is elevation of spiritual understanding. The whole government was specifically designed to fulfill this purpose. Yeah, okay. But for self-realization. The whole government was specifically designed to fulfill this particular purpose. Right, so the government was designed to create the support of spiritual life. Right? That's the thing. As such, the king had to select properly the cabinet ministers, but not on the strength of voting background. Right? So that's what we see is that's not voting. That's about direct qualification, right? In other words, you have options of, you can have so many leaders, so from amongst those who are qualified, if you're voting for them, fine, because it doesn't matter which one you end up with. It means if the people know, then they may pick someone more qualified, amongst qualified. If the people don't know, they'll still end up with a qualified person, right? But the cabinet members, those have to be people who are specifically the best in their fields. It's not about voting. It's not whether they're popular, they look good, they got a great smile. They just have to be good at what they're doing. Right? The ministers, the military commanders, and even the ordinary soldiers were all selected by personal qualification. And the king had to supervise them properly before they were appointed to their respective posts. Right? Because the whole point is that Niti says, think 100 times we're putting someone in a post, because once he's there, it's hard to get rid of them. Right? If they're the wrong person, it's very hard to get rid of them. So better you spend a little more time to figure out if they belong there. The king was especially vigilant to see that the tapasvis, or persons who sacrificed everything for disseminating spiritual knowledge, were never disregarded. Right? So the saintly persons, the Brahmins, the Rishis, sages, all these different persons, the devotees, the king was seeing that they weren't disregarded, they were always taken care of. Because then, the maximum amount of supervision of spiritual development in the society was done. Right? It's not that these great, personalities, the tapasvis, that they manage the government. No, that's not their job. The kings manage the government, but the government is meant for spiritual realization. So those who train in spiritual realization, they should always be taken care of. Right? It should be seen that they're doing nicely. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? And so, yeah. Then your education goes on nicely. There's more money in education than it works nicely. Right? It means it's just like this. Educators aren't necessarily good at raising money, but to do organized education, you need money. So therefore, who do you have to bring in to make the money?
The Vaishyas.
The Vaishyas. And then the Vaishyas will make money off of education. Right? It does not cost, you know, $30,000-$40,000 a year to go sit in, you know, two classes a week and go out and buy your own books. It really doesn't. I mean, the land that they have was given to them, you know, or bought for them 150, 200 years ago. Yes. It does not cost that much. The buildings have, you know, 3-foot walls. They're not falling down. Right? They use tube lights. They're cheap. Right? You know what I'm saying? So what's going on? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't cost that much. So what's happening? Because business persons are running it. Because the Brahmins can't. That's why the Brahmins have to be given in charity. Because they'll always spend it on good stuff. Right? But they have to have it. They can't generate it. A few can, but generally they don't. Yes?
These days, there's not this culture of, like, people don't recognize this.
Yes.
And is that because there's no true Brahmins? Like,
No. It's not that the Brahmins aren't there. There's just no culture. The point is if they're not supported, then what do? Like, go to any one of our communities, right? They will be devotees who are Brahminical by occupation, their nature. But now if you check, what are they doing to maintain the family?
Some job.
They don't have a job. Why? Because they're not being supported by the general populace. Why not? Because the government doesn't encourage that. It doesn't do it itself.
You mean the government as in the Karmi government or the...
No, there's government. Whether it's run by Karmis or not run by Karmis, it's still government.
But the actual government, not the temple authorities.
Temple authorities also.
Okay.
But the point is government should be doing these things. Then there is money for these things. Because they're always doing programs, so these programs are giving in charity, right? These the Pandavas, when they would go to a holy place, what would they do?
Give charity.
They'd always be, when Arjuna went out for his you know, he had gone into the room to get his weapons when Draupadi was with Yudhishthir, right? So then it means you have to you go out for, you know, 12 years. Right? So when he went, he took a huge amount of wealth with him. And he's just going out to live in the forest. Right? That's because, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, if he's, you know, you have to bring the tinnies all the way from the city all the way out into the forest, so it's expensive to live out there. Is that why? No. It's so that when he goes to all the holy places, that he gives in charity. Right? So that means wherever he's going, he's giving in charity. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, is they do stuff like that. They're personally giving in charity. You know, the government is giving in charity. It's all happening. They have all these welfare kind of elements. But the thing is, it's for people who deserve it, not just anybody. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, is that that's the balance between the problem with the conservatives and the liberals. Liberals say we should have, you know, a social system. The conservative says, no, you just make people lazy. Yes, those who can work should work. Those who can't, they are taken care of. You know, Prabhupada tells that story of the king decided they wanted to make a house for, you know, how you say, those who couldn't work, you know, the real lazy people, right? Like that. So then so many people showed up, right? Because they're going to get free food and stay. I mean, it just packed out. So then the king said, light the place on fire. So they lit it on fire. Everybody ran out, but two guys who were laying on the floor. And one of them, you know, rolled over and says, oh, if you roll over, it's not quite as hot. You know? So the king said, feed those two guys. Those guys are lazy. They can't do anything.
So is there something that we can do about it, or is it
going to
change?
The first thing you can do about it is we see the administration to do about it is you have to qualify yourself. So that's why self-realization, it starts with the self. If you have qualifications, then you can have influence. But the point is, if people aren't interested, then it doesn't matter. Because, see, we're not trying to make the world a perfect place, because there's no such thing. You know? It's a matter of making it favorable for Krishna consciousness. So you can make it as good as it gets in the material world. It's never going to be perfect. Does that make sense? So, if people are interested, then you have that influence. If people aren't interested, you don't worry about it. You know, you just, because your first business is becoming self-realized. Because if you're not self-realized, how you'll help anybody else? Right? Does that make sense? Because even you work hard, you do so many things, you know, then as Prabhupada says, you feed the person today, tomorrow they're hungry. So you're going to feed him the whole rest of his life? Right? And then there's other people, and then you die, and then you're not feeding those all the people, right? Because you're dead.
Yeah.
Right? So the point is you can't do. You do what you can. But that's not the focus. It's all about welfare and helping the people. It means that's one of the aspects of human life. It's not the focus. The focus is spiritual life. Right? Because that's ashram. When you're doing welfare work, you're dealing generally with varna. You know what I'm saying? The person can't work, doesn't have facility or like that. Does that make sense?
Oh, well, I am looking at it in a spiritual way, meaning that if these things were in place, then the right people could focus more on spiritual.
Yes, but the point is don't depend on that.
Okay.
If you depend upon that, I saw one educator, you know, focused on training the kids and everything like that. Then, when the kids grew up and they went out into society, then in his perspective, you know, or in reality, there was no positions for the kids to apply their training. So then he switched his whole focus from training the students into creating community that would have a place for. But, you know, so, you know, something's been done in either, but at the same time as the whole thing gets lost. You have to train people that they'll find their own position. Right? In other words, if it's not there, then you train them how to find it. That will be easier. Trying to change the whole society, that will be more difficult. You know what I'm saying? So unless you're, you know, Prithu Maharaj or Ramachandra or Kalki, you know, they all are influential in changing the, you know, the demographic of the social
general populace.
Yeah, the general populace.
Parasaram,
yeah. No, he also is quite influential. You know, does that make sense? So unless you have these kind of qualifications, you know, Bhishma is speaking here, then don't worry about that. That's someone else's duty. Right? That's the whole point, is that, yes, it is somebody's duty and it should be done, but who's going to train someone like that to do it? It's going to be those who understand the system. You don't understand it, then it's not you going to try to change the system. You find those who can. Right? Chanakya, when he found the governance was not good, he didn't bring the government down himself. He didn't change the government to a proper government himself. He found a qualified person, trained them, and then they took over the government. You know what I'm saying? Because it's very easy to go in, topple a government, and then what? You know what I'm saying? You have to find the person who's going to do it first, and that they have the qualifications. Then they'll do it. You don't have to do it. Does that make sense? Yes.
What you're saying, it really echoes Prabhupada's. He had this external strategy or macro strategy of book distribution influencing the world.
Yes.
He was very emphatic that we should not be dependent on that world. We should make our own communities with the values and principles we're hearing in his books.
Yeah, of this world, not of, or let's say of that world, not of this world. it's the thing. Because the point is, despite anything, you can be Krishna conscious. That's why these stories are being told. That's why we're going in here in Kambhishma. Despite having, it said in Mahabharata that the arrows were, the gap between arrows was no more than 2 fingers. That's the maximum. You know, that's his whole body, right? Except his head. Right? So that's a lot of arrows. Right?
I don't get it.
You don't get it.
No,
no, not 2 arrows, 2 fingers.
The space
between, in Bhishma Dev's laying on a bed of arrows. That's not just that they laid out nicely arrows and all that. And then these means he's on a bed of arrows, means they went into his body, come out the other side. And so then there's enough of them, means the space between each of those arrows is no more than 2 fingers. So therefore he could lay down on that, and he's a qualified, he could have just gotten up and pulled the arrows out, but he decided not to. You know, that's his saying, it's his own decision.
This vision that you presented also takes care of our, let's say, false identity of being a transformer, a hero.
Yes, because that's, it's great in the movies, but I mean, who transforms the world in 2 hours, right? You know, the guy doesn't even eat or go to the toilet. Come on, give us a break here. How does it happen? This untrained person suddenly from, meek and, can't do anything, like that, suddenly goes out and takes on the world. It's great, it's nice. It's inspiring, but the reality is that someone who's qualified does it.
But he really wants to.
Of course. Yeah. Yes, that's the problem.
For the girl.
Yes. Yes. The king had to see that the reserved energy of humanity was... we were on this, tapasvis. Such tapasvis were trusted leaders, even of the rogues and thieves, who would never disobey the order of the tapasvis. So even these great sages out in the forest, even the dacoits might come to them for advice and stuff. not on how to steal, but, it's like, I have to spend so much time away from the family, I'm doing it all for them, but they don't appreciate, they can give advice.
Need to balance your work life.
Yeah, work life with your family life and your sadhana. Right?
Need to be efficient.
Huh?
Efficiency.
Yeah, efficiency, yes. The king would give special protection to illiterates, the helpless, and widows of the states. Right? So those who were uneducated due to whatever, or couldn't be educated, right? The helpless and the widows of the... So those were always taken care of. Special protection means they had land, because everybody will try to take it. They make sure it doesn't get taken. They have money, no one takes it. They get like all these different things like that. Defense measures, so that automatically takes care of a huge amount of what's required. Because helpless will mean those who, let's say, have, illiterate will be your mental. Helpless will generally be physical. Oh, but it can also mean children, right, until they come to maturity. Like a student, a student has an estate, but no one's there to take care of it because he's studying, the king will take care of it until he graduates. Defense measures were arranged previous to any attack by the enemies. Because everything was already in place. You know, it wasn't that when an attack comes up, then they make a move on it, you know, like that. So it's that they're already there. You can't do anything first. Because they have their spy. They know what's going on, so then it's always happening. But it's always arranged. Right? The taxing process was easy, and it was not meant for squandering, but was for strengthening the reserve fund. Right? So therefore, the defense measures were there. They could take care of the illiterates, helpless, and widows. They could take care of the tapasvis. Right? They would give in charity to the Brahmins and everything like that. They would be doing public works. The soldiers were recruited from all parts of the world, and they were trained for special duties. Right? But it meant that they were, means of this soldiers, so either they were from the administrative class, or they were from Shudras whose art was military. So they weren't just any kid so there was no such thing as a draft. They were recruited, means, because they got properly taken care of, properly paid, so therefore it's a professional army, like that. And, you know, like it says there, the king himself would be involved in the recruiting process, right? So he knew, because they're his men, so he has to know them. You know, he goes out, he sees them, that's what the afternoon is for, right? After lunch, before the evening, then he goes out, sees the troops, sees the horses, sees the machinery, sees the, you know, the granaries, you know, anything that's dealing with the state, you know, going out, seeing what public works are going on. They're supposed to be building a, you know, let's say, you know, some large reservoir that is going on. What's the progress? Is the money being spent? He goes and sees all this stuff personally, right? The Vaishyas, okay, so that takes care of the kings. So we see here is that the king gives special attention. He takes care of the tapasvis, takes care of those who are helpless. Defense measures were there. Taxing process was simple and was not squandered. And the soldiers were recruited from all parts of the world. Like that. So these are summed up. This is the duties on top of him being a spiritual person. Right? And yes.
Maharaj, in our society, the best position is self-realization. So I work myself.
The only position. Are you going to get anything else around here? No, okay, so yeah.
And my question was, what is my duty towards the bigger society?
Perform your duty. That's it. Perform your duty. Means you have something that you're doing, and then it's there, because others will take care of the bigger arrangements. But you need to be self-realized and perform your duties. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then that's the whole point. So, becoming self-realized, preaching, these kinds of elephants, yes. Elephants, these are big, right? These are the big elephants. Yes. Others are smaller, that's why they're elements, right? It's really a big element is an elephant. Yes. Okay, so those things, the elements of sadhana, that's what everybody should be involved in. Then you have your duties within family life and within your varna. Then that fits within the society. Because all these things are all connected. Right? Generally we tend to compartmentalize them. Right? So then you end up with, you know, am I just doing this and I don't worry about anything else? No, you have to deal with everything. Right? It all overlaps. It's just where the focus is. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so that ends upon the Kshatriyas. The Vaishyas, the members of the mercantile communities, are especially advised to protect the cows. Cow protection means increasing the milk productions, namely curd and butter. Agriculture and distribution of the foodstuffs are the primary duties of the mercantile community, backed by education in Vedic knowledge and trained to give in charity. Right, so they have the Vedic training, right, in education, and they're trained to give in charity. Otherwise, they'll generate. But if they get caught by greed, then there's never enough. But if they're giving in charity, as the more you make, the more you're giving in charity. Right? You know, that's the appropriate. It means to set get one of these billionaires and they, you know, give billions away. That's what's supposed to be happening. Yes. You're making money in the billions. You should be giving away money in the billions.
To his point. To his point.
But you know what I'm saying? It's the idea is that you're supposed to be, the more you're making is great. So this idea, no, they should only make up to a particular point. Anything beyond that should go to, no. It's that everybody increases all around. Because as we mentioned before, those who generate profit, the more they get, the happier they are, the more they're happy to give. Right? But otherwise, by working more, they don't get any more. Then that means they're not. It's not theirs. So then that independence is not there, then they're not willing to work for it. Therefore, everything goes down. That's why when things that aren't generally supposed to be... governmentized, you know, then when the government takes it over, it's an economic thing, it generally starts to fail. And as soon as they make a profit, but private, it makes money. So the point is it should be private and they take tax, but not so much, you know. It should be in proportion. Yes?
Why Vashyas especially advise to put in the cows, like businessmen?
Because cows make profit. You get milk and curd and butter.
In a specific area.
What? Who do you want to take care of the cows? Soldiers will be out taking care of the cows.
Brahmins.
Brahmins should be taking care of the cows all day.
No, in my mind, when I'm thinking about businessmen, cows, it doesn't really work together so well.
Businessmen manage the trading in what the cows have already produced. See, the it means... Dairy and land, you're actually directly producing something, right? But trade, you're not producing anything. You're dealing in what's already produced, right? Does that make sense? Like that. So therefore, it has that difference. So the point is you want to get back to the root production, because if there's tons of that, what do you need other things for? You know what I'm saying?
So they're physically looking after the cows,
or they're just investing in the cows? Means they, depending upon how big of a business person they are. Not so big, they got one cow to take care of it themselves. You know, they got 900,000 cows, they have people to help take care. It's not that they're not out there, they take care, but they got people to take care.
So they're not there milking it every day?
They may be milking. Krishna would milk cows every day, but how many cows will Krishna milk? The point is if you're not out there milking the cows, how do you know if everybody else is milking the cows? Right? And because you're there, you know what's happening. You know that, okay, in an hour, I milked, let's say, 10 cows. Okay? And so, therefore, so many cows, this many people, all the cows should have been milked in an hour. If they're not milked, what's happening? Who's not milking properly? You understand? So that's the whole thing. That's why... Everybody, the leaders, means they're leading in these fields. It's not that they're sitting in an office. This idea that everybody becomes a bureaucrat, that's not the leaders. You know what I'm saying? All the bureaucrats in business and government aren't the leaders. They may be highly paid, highly positioned, but they're not the leaders. The leaders are the ones that, you know what's going on. Yeah. Yes.
It's said that by increasing the milk production and they're maintaining the cows, it's not by getting a donation they are maintaining the
cows. No, cows. It should because it's just tons of land. So the point is that land, cows could be out there grazing, you know. But it's not, you know. Everybody's sitting in the city.
So currently what we do by getting a donation and maintaining the cows is...
That's because we're not Vaishyas. So we have to work like that. Vaishyas would be able to take cows and make profit. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it works. So if it's not happening, it means somebody doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It means there's a side thing. You can have a ghost sadan where old cows that others aren't taking care of, you take care of, people give donation for that.
Yeah.
But cows that are producing milk, then there should be no need of charity to take care of that. Right? Yes.
Do
You see, many times that we only see part of the system because the cows give milk, but then there's the bulls on the field and the agriculture, the grains, they
yes.
run into the system.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's all that. Yeah, out. You have to do both. Because some people only do cows, but you're supposed to do both. Like I was, you know, hearing one, I heard two different conversations, you know, in time. One conversation was is that because there's so many bulls, then the milk production is down, right? Like that. I heard another one is saying, you know, they're into bulls because bulls are what produce all the grains and everything, right?
Yeah.
So then, you know, that's the whole thing is that they don't know what they're doing. So it's like that. Bulls, they plow the land, they produce. So it's like that. So that's the whole point. So that's what he's saying here is that when you have unqualified administrators, because they're not administrators. Or if they are, they're unqualified. Therefore, you have to have so much top-heavy government because they don't know what they're doing. If you know what you're doing, you're a real administrator. It doesn't take that many people to run it. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I missed something, but when you spoke about the traders, are they still Vaishyas?
Yes, yes. So cows, land, trade, and banking, these are all Vaishyas. Does that make sense? Like that, so. Agriculture and distribution of foodstuffs are the primary duties of the mercantile community, backed by education and Vedic knowledge. So they had to have that Vedic knowledge, otherwise how would they take part and support the system? And trained to give in charity. Because otherwise they'll think, we make the money, we should be on the top. Because everything runs by money. They don't understand is money runs the facilities. Right? But the actual quality of human life is not by money. That's by training in the Vedic values. So that means the Vaishyas aren't on the top. So if Vaishyas are sitting on the top, you know, in the overall system, then there's going to be something wrong with that system. It's not going to work properly.
And we'll exploit.
Yeah, it'll all be based on exploitation. You know, so in other words, you present the modern, you know, governmental ideals so that people are happy to be exploited. It's not about there won't be. As the Kshatriyas were given charge of the protection of the citizens, Vaishyas were given the charge of the protection of animals. Right? So that's why cows are the specific. Right? Because Kshatriyas take care of the citizens, Vaishyas take care of the cows, and, you know, cows and goats and buffaloes and whatever else that you're worried about. Animals are never meant to be killed. Killing of animals is a symptom of barbarian society, right? Because just as you don't kill the citizens, you don't kill the cows, right? You kill the animals. It's just they have their part in the society, just their animals, right? You know, they produce fur. Or something, you know, that's what they do, right? So he is doing his duty, right? You know? For a human being, agricultural produce, fruits and milk are sufficient and compatible foodstuffs. The human society should give more attention to animal protection. The productive energy of the labor is misused when he is occupied by industrial enterprises. Industry of various types cannot produce the essential needs of man, namely rice, wheat, grains, milk, fruits, and vegetables. The production of machines and machine tools increases the artificial living fashion of a class of vested interests and keeps thousands of men in starvation and unrest. This is not the standard of civilization. Because you're going into those, so you're saying, yes, we can improve, but who are you improving? It means some. Like that. So the point is this, it's not that there's not going to be in the Vedic system, you know, very wealthy and powerful and those who are less wealthy and less powerful. That's always going to be there. But the point is as it was Prabhupada's pointing out, is your common citizen had sufficient wealth. It's just that some people have even more. Because the point is what is the common person going to do with more wealth? Other than give a charity.
Spend it on themselves.
Yeah, they'll spend it on themselves, but what's there to spend it on? Family. They don't know what to spend it on. I mean, it's family, but what do you spend it on?
Yeah, squandered.
Sanskrit education.
It means in the modern, but in the Vedic, what's there to spend it on? right? You can get more gold for your wife, more saris, you know. I mean, so what else can you do? You know what I'm saying? Because that's just the general things, you know. It's about, it means to make a palace. Who thinks in terms of a palace? Right? Stone carving, who thinks of that? Right? So you'd have to be very refined and from that kind of a background to relate to it. So they, if they have extra money, might do that. But you have to have a lot of extra money. You know, so therefore, the common person will be opulent. He'll have nice food, nice clothes, ornaments, scents, all these different things that are just nice human things. And the main focus will be on spiritual realization and the interactions of you know, family and community. Right? But in the modern, because you have these industry, they produce all this artificial things that aren't really required. So all your money goes into those. And so then the quality of life goes down. It said it goes up. No, it goes down. Right? The more wealthy, they'll have those plus all the other stuff. But it only works for them. The common person doesn't work. So here the kshatriyas are supposed to take care of the citizens. It has to work for the citizens. Right? You know, there'll be gradation, but it should be everybody is taken care of. Like that. Yes?
So if this is not happening, like this, the animals aren't getting taken care of, or the people aren't, and is it up to the person that knows about it, or is it up to the person that's in charge, that's their karma and their duty? And
it's up to the person who it's their duty.
Okay. So the other people just don't worry about that. Even if they know it, they see it.
But they can, if they have influence, they can say something to somebody. But if still it doesn't work, then you just stick to your own place. The whole point is if you get so worried about, let's say, the cows, but then why are you so worried about the cows? Is it actually because the cows are to be protected and this and that? So that means you'd educate yourself and you'd do the good job of it. But if you don't have that capability, you only know. So that means you can only preach about it. And then you can only preach about it to those who have the influence in that area. And if they take it, nice. If they don't, then you've done what you've done your job. Right? Okay. The production of machines and machine tools increases the artificial living fashion of a class of vested interests and keeps thousands of men in starvation and unrest. This is not the standard of civilization. The Shudra class is less intelligent and should have no independence, right? There, I say, here is that less intelligent means, what does this mean? This doesn't mean less IQ or stupid, right? It means that because the whole society is meant for self-realization, that focus or understanding the importance of self-realization over all other things, that's the kind of intelligence we're talking about. Because
yes.
The Shudra easily becomes distracted by day-to-day life, the emotions, the whole, you know, how the world is turning and all these different things, you know. Does that make sense? That's why less intelligent, because they'll put more focus on gossip and all different emotions and this. You know, I'm feeling so emotional, I'm so disturbed, I can't chant my rounds. That's a Shudra. You understand? That's less intelligent, right? The whole point is it's about that spiritual life is the prominent. That goes on. Then these other things, you try to do the best with them you can. But the emotions, the art, takes the prominence. Because it's all about expression and feeling and these kind of... Does that make sense? Right? Or just like the muda, just working hard, getting your money, going home and, you know, enjoying yourself. i.e. a beer and watching television. Yes?
What was that? Srila Prabhupada says in the...
And a big potato.
In the last... purport of this chapter, he says the mass of people, especially in this age of Kali, are all born Shudras, basically low-born, ill-trained, unfortunate, and badly associated. They themselves do not know the highest perfectional aim of life. says that in the last purport. He says this unfortunate, ill-trained. That ill-trained also means like, you know,
just lack of training. Lack of training. So what's about?
Because you're talking about Shudra.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, it's just lack of training. Because the point is, the Shudra, basically, they don't focus on training. They don't see the importance of the complete Vedic educational system. What they know about it, you know, of course, they'll naturally pass on to the family members, but it's not about focusing. They don't do brahmachari training, right? Because Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya is dependent upon brahmachari training, right? So that's what makes... So here, less intelligent means they don't have the training in the Vedic knowledge, in self-realization. But it doesn't mean that individuals may not be. But the point is then occupationally, they're going to stay in that position. But on the ashram side, then they'll be nice devotees. Right? But here is pointing out is that because of this, that's why they work unto others. Because the tendency is the ashram side is weak because of the focus on their varna. Right? So we see this emphasis on the varna. Right? It's like for a Brahmin, it's his knowledge, a Kshatriya, it's his influence, the Vaishya, it's his wealth. Right? So he's just a Vaishya. Right? Or he's just a Kshatriya, or he's just a Brahmin. Right? Then secondary to that is, okay, he deals in clothes, or he deals in furniture, or he deals in real estate. But you don't identify him if he's as much as he's a real estater. Right? Means that may be, if you want to do something, oh, he does real estate, you can talk to him. But otherwise, as an identity, it's not there. You understand? But when you go into the Shudras, the art is the identity. You understand? They're a dancer. That's their identity. They're a singer. That's their identity. They're a painter. That's their identity. They're a martial artist. That's their identity. You understand? They did their MBA and they worked for some big businessman. That's their identity, right? They're the professional business person.
Yes.
You understand? So that's the thing, is the Shudra gets into the externals become the reality. That's why less intelligent.
Yes.
So because of that, there should be no independence, because the independence will mean that they will apply it into sense gratification. Means they have their day-to-day life. That's there. They do what they like. You know, it's not like you have a little camera in every room and Big Brother's watching. But the point is that they don't have independence on deciding what is the appointed use of their skill. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, what is Michelangelo painting? Right? Yeah, Sistine Chapel. But why is he painting that?
Someone told him.
Somebody, you know, had him do that, right? He's getting paid for it. He's doing well. But the point is, if artists on their own are allowed to just paint whatever they want, you know, this uncommissioned, they come up weird stuff. You know, you look at it, all the weird stuff is uncommissioned, all the classics that everybody goes to the Louvre to see, that's all commissioned.
Yes.
You understand? That's just the way it works. So that's why there's no independence.
Yes.
Pollock used to throw the paint.
Pollock just used to throw the paint.
Yeah, he throws it, you know, the lines like this. You know, like, wow, that's the new...
Yeah. You're leaving out the bicycle. Record the paint and ride the bicycle. Yeah, no, there's some weird guys. Yeah.
You're mentioning that. And what about modern teachers who are at school, hired... How do they function?
How does a modern teacher function? It means on what level are you talking?
Is he working under like a Shudra mentality because he's hired and...
Nowadays, because how is the system run? But it's supposed to be they're independent. Right? In other words, they know their subject, and so therefore they teach the students. You know, there's an organization, so they work within it, but it's an organization of Brahmins. But nowadays, at least if it's government, then it's from the government is there. an officer of the government is there. So generally, much of the time is a teacher, but the position is that is a bureaucrat, so they're shudra. So then they're run by that. Or the businessmen run it and then put a bureaucrat in charge. Right? Because bureaucrats just work by the book. They don't like change. So they'll just make sure that you don't do anything different. Right? So it has its advantages and disadvantages.
Well, Brahman as a teacher, he'll have his independence. He'll teach his subject.
How he feels it should be taught. The point is you only have qualified people as teachers. And then they're going to teach up to a standard. So if they're learning, that's what you're looking for. You know, but that everybody has to learn in the same way, that's not possible. There is no such thing as one way to teach everybody. Right? So it means you have to teach in a particular way to a particular group. So therefore, you know, this so-called theory will have this one system that will work perfectly for everybody. It doesn't exist. You know, and they've been fighting over that for the last 200 years. Right? And what is suffered? Education of the students. Right? So that's the problem with bureaucracy. Right?
Yeah. So are the Brahmins doing the wrong thing not doing their duty by getting these external jobs, like, or should they just be relying on Krishna? Like,
no, but I'm saying is that people nowadays don't appreciate Brahmins. Otherwise, why are they some of the lowest paid? They're the most important people in your society, but they're the lowest paid. You know, the plumber gets more than a teacher.
Yeah, but should they just, you know, like, tell Brahmin, he was poor and he was just relying on Krishna, wasn't trying to do anything?
Yes, if you can do that, nice. But the point is they have to eat, so they have to be practical. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is, Sudama Brahma was sitting down, and he was satisfied. And then what happened? His wife came and harassed him. So that's the meaning of practical. Practical means doing what has to be done to keep the family happy.
And because they're not,
i.e. the boss of the family.
They're not all directly friends with Krishna, then they can't.
Sorry?
They're not all, like, directly friends with Krishna.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah.
Okay.
Like that. The point is that you have to be practical, but the point is that it doesn't mean that your own spiritual life, that you allow that to drop. You're independent in that. Does that make sense?
So continuing with page 13, the Shudra class. So the Shudra class is less intelligent and should have no independence. They are meant for rendering sincere service to the three higher sections of the society. In other words, the Shudra class means arts. So the arts are always supposed to be in support of science, right? Every art has its science, right? So the science is what's dealt with by the Brahmin, Kshatriya, and Vaishya. So now in applying that science, there's the art. And so therefore, that's where the Shudra comes in. So in other words, knowledge, influence, and economics, that's the main things that how the society runs. So they always support that. Does that make sense? Yes.
So depending upon their particular nature, so their art, then they'll be assisting in any of those areas.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that can be with skill or, you know, unskilled or just general like that. It doesn't matter.
All right.
Yes.
If you're a mixed varna, then how is it you're not, if your, like, duty is all different things, then you're not doing your duty? Like, you know, you're doing someone else's duty?
No, it means you take whatever is the prominent.
Okay.
You know, like a sutta is a cross between Brahmin woman, Kshatriya man. So they can either, depending upon the mentality, which is stronger, either function as a Brahmin, function as a Kshatriya, or function as a charioteer. Right? You know, because this mixed, it can drop it into Shudra, it can remain the same as Kshatriya, or it can bump it up into Brahmin. So it's, it, but you have to pick one station and function at it.
So you don't do bits and pieces of
work? It means unless those things are what's going on.
Like in a temple environment?
Yeah, so there may be so many of those things, you can do all of them. So when one's required, you do that. When the other's required, you do that.
Okay.
Like that. The Shudra class can attain all comforts of life simply by rendering service to the higher classes. One may say, oh, this is discriminatory, but basically probably 98% of the planet works for somebody. Right? So then, what's the problem? What it means, how do they get all their comforts of life? Because they go and have a job and they get their money. That's all it's saying. So, but the point is it should be that the Shudra is serving either a Brahmin who's trained, a Kshatriya who's trained, or a Vaishya who's trained. The problem in the modern society is the Shudras have to assist those people who are untrained. Therefore, they remain less trained. Right? In other words, you don't necessarily get the direct education. Means we don't mean education in your skill, but we mean that monastery upbringing. But you benefit from the lifestyle and application of the skills of the three higher orders. So naturally, by association, you develop those qualities. So that's the whole point. Since self-realization is the whole system, then since everybody is involved in self-realization, then the Shudra will naturally, by association, pick up the importance of it. It is especially enjoined that a Shudra should never bank money. As soon as the Shudras accumulate wealth, it will be misused for sinful activities in wine, women, and gambling. So in other words, they should have how much required. How much they require, they should always have. They should never have less. At the same time, there never should be more. Right? Because simply there's not the discrimination how to take care of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. As soon as this... Oh, okay. Wine, women, and gambling indicate that the population is degraded to less than Shudra quality. The Shudras is actually an elevated position because it's human, right? So when you drop below that, then that's where it becomes, you know, barbaric or tribal. Mudha is, it means it's, you have a mentality where they think that just by working, so you could be good at what you're doing and do everything nicely. But it also has that, it can work on both sides, more or less pious, like that. But it just means that it becomes speculative. The whole thing's about sense gratification. The higher caste should always look after the maintenance of the Shudras, and they should provide them with old and used garments. A Shudra should not leave his master when the master is old and invalid, and the master should keep the servant satisfied in all respects. So they always take care of them. Right? And so then that's the point, is that, in other words, it's like now, how you say, one only gets paid, and you get taxed, right? The Shudra gets taxed. Most tax that comes in from the Shudras. But it should be that it's a matter of amount of money being made. The Vaishyas pay the tax, so the Shudras don't pay the tax. You know what I'm saying? Now, the Vaishya pays the money to the Shudra, and then the Shudra is taxed. But the Vaishya wouldn't pay the Shudra, he would just pay the tax. You understand? But he takes care of the Shudra. Right? So it's the same difference. Does that make sense? It's not that you're spending more money. It's that you have a personal relationship with your workers. That's what it's pointing out. One may say, oh, this is this and that. But no, it's a matter of let's say they're working for a businessman. The businessman is involved the same to the personal facilities of his workers. That's what it's talking about. So you do have some like that in history. Bhatta was like that. Hershey's was like that. Big businessmen. They created their own city just for their own people. Has their own stores, own schools, own everything, because he felt that otherwise they wouldn't get the quality that should be there. Does that make sense? So then they tried to create a better standard of living because they're administrators, they know how to manage it, and so they would do it. So basically in both of them, they were administrators doing business. right? Because everything that they would do, it means that they'd make profit, of course, but it was always about protection of the workers. The Shudras must first of all be satisfied by sumptuous food and clothing before any sacrifice is performed. So they're always being fed and taken care of. So just like in the family, if you have servants, the food for the servants is set aside or given to them before the family eats. You understand? Now it's whatever's left over. No, but they get what they get first. Because you have to take care of all the dependents. Right? Then at the end, the grihastha, his wife, or his close friends, or like that, will eat. But first, they've taken care of guests, you know, like this. Then they've taken care of dependents. Then they themselves. So that's why one has to look at the whole thing all together. Right? In this age, so many functions are held by spending millions, but the poor laborer is not sumptuously fed or given charity, clothing, etc. Right, but like that. They have these big functions, but they're not taking care of anybody. It's just like, say, the company is doing this big function like that. So everybody comes around, there's a little bit of snack food and all that. They should be fed nicely, given clothes, given other gifts and charity, all these kind of things. So that's the whole point, is that so much more is going to the shooter. But at the same time, is he doesn't need to be paid because everything's taken care of. You understand? The laborers are thus dissatisfied, and so they make agitation. And then it's a whole power trip. Yeah. The varnas are, so to speak, classifications of different occupations. And ashrama dharma is gradual process on the path of self-realization. Right? So occupational, you know, and then self-realization. So one has to be able to tell the difference. At the same time, both are interrelated, Prabhupada says. Right? Both are interrelated, and one is dependent on the other. The quality of means, in other words, like the king, the quality of his ashram is how well he'll be able to perform his duties. Mm. Yes. Right? Same time is that his duties, that will have an effect on the ashram. So they're interrelated. But the ashram is spiritual, that's the primary. Yes. And then the varna, which is to maintain that, that's the secondary. Yes. The main purpose of ashram dharma is to awaken knowledge and detachment. The Brahmachari ashram is the training ground for the prospective candidates. Right? Prospective means they have to be trained. So it's whether they actually have the qualifications. Right? Because they're first going to become in as all students come in as Brahmacharis. That's the generic. Then having been trained as Brahmacharis, then they can get specific training in their own specific varna. But until they've been trained as brahmacharis, there's no meaning to training them in specific. Why would you train someone as a kshatriya or a brahmin if they don't know brahmacharya? Because it's based on qualification, right? The personal qualification. So they're not personally qualified, you wouldn't teach them. Otherwise, they'd just make trouble. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But because that's the system, basically we see it's very rare that anybody doesn't qualify. Right, because the focus is on the character building. Yes. They build the character, therefore they all become qualified to learn their particular occupation. Yes.
So the shortcoming of the body, you give varna first and then you don't give the...
No, you only give varna. There is no ashram. You know what I'm saying? You can't really call ashram, okay, religious study where, you know, every week somebody comes in. You know, one week it's Hare Krishna's, one week it's Jehovah's Witnesses, one week it's, you know, like that. And you know, you go through all the things, and you know, it doesn't. It's not the character training and all that. Because the problem is it needs more time, right? So then 6 hours a day, you can only do the academic. You know, like that. A little others, but mainly that. If you want to do actual proper training, personal training, then you have to have add in many more hours to the education. So in other words, it's a full-time activity. Does that make sense for people? Because it's geared for sense gratification, therefore that's not because ashram is where you apply sense gratification, and varna is how you get the money to do it. Right? That's... The Brahmachari ashram is the training ground for the prospective candidates. In this ashram, it is instructed that the material world is not actually the home of the living being. The conditioned souls under material bondage are prisoners of matter, and therefore self-realization is the ultimate aim of life. The whole system of ashram dharma is a means of detachment. One who fails to assimilate the spirit of detachment is allowed to enter into family life with the same spirit of detachment. Right, so another, you catch what it said here? One who fails to assimilate the spirit of detachment is allowed to enter into family life with the same spirit of detachment. Right? Because the one is assimilate. So in other words, the spirit of detachment is there. Those who assimilate don't need to enter Grihastha Ashram. Those who don't assimilate that spirit then continue to practice that spirit of detachment in Grihastha Ashram.
Assimilate means realize?
Yes. In other words, the Grihastha has knowledge, right, of this detachment, but he doesn't necessarily have the realization. So then by applying that same spirit in the facilities and situations of Grihastha Ashram, then you learn. Because where it means detachment, if you've assimilated it, then there is detachment. There's no need of going beyond just that simple, lifestyle that the Brahmachari has. Right? Because what is Grihastha Ashram means you expand the facilities. Right? So if you go into those same facilities with the same spirit of detachment, like that, with that same knowledge, then you get to apply it in a wider variety of area. Because otherwise what's happening is that in the Brahmachari ashram, if you catch the principle, then you understand it applies everywhere. If you don't, you catch you get the understanding, but not the realization of it. Then you think, yeah, it applies here, but not over here. You know, like that. And so then there's areas that the mind is attracted to. Does that make sense?
So then by applying it in those areas...
Then you get the realization. So that's the whole point. That's why the Vedic system is meant for self-realization. So everybody starts as a Brahmachari, and then from there you either remain Brahmachari, or you go into Grihastha, and then as a Grihastha Brahmachari, then you understand it. Right? But the whole point is everybody gets to that point of Vanaprastha Sannyas. So either you go there directly from the Brahmachari ashram, or you go through the Grihastha and get there. But the idea is the self-realization of the material world is not not the place to be happy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's a dynamic system. But you've learned everything, so now it's just a matter of applying it in these other areas. Is that something?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
This is talking specifically about men.
No, it's talking about everybody. Vedic system is about everybody. It uses the term he because everybody thinks that they're Purusha, or the controller and enjoyer of everything.
But Brahmacharis a boy.
Yes.
There was no Brahmacharini. There was no such thing.
There was, that means the girl's unmarried, so it's the same basic principle. You know, it's just that they practice that element of celibacy in a situation of opulence as opposed to a situation of lack of opulence. Right? You know what I'm saying? In other words, the boy is unaware. So when you put him in a situation of opulence, he becomes distracted too easily by all the variety of things that are there. Girls are automatically aware. And so then they're aware of all the things around them, so it doesn't distract them, right? Lack of things distracts them, right? Does that make sense? Okay. But it's the same kind of principle, like that. It's the same kind of training. I mean, the same understanding has to be there. But because, as we said, the girls are happier in an environment of facility. Therefore, then that facility will be there in Grihastha Ashram. Right? So they can either stay their whole life in their father's house, or they can get married. You know, because if they stay in the father's house, they get some of what they want, but they're not the main lady in the house. The mom is. You know what I'm saying? So if you want everything that you want, then you get married, and then you get the guy to do everything for you, right? Because the father only do part for you, but the husband has to do everything for you. Like that. You understand? So it's more efficient. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Sufficient also.
Huh? Yes. Yes. Therefore, one who attains detachment may at once adopt the fourth order, namely renounced, and thus live on charity only, not to accumulate wealth, but just to keep body and soul together for ultimate realization. Right? So then he's just taking, because vanaprastha, I mean, vanaprastha is a mentality of stage. It's not as prominent. So basically, we more focus on one, two, and four. But at the same time, vanaprastha is also a very prominent element. Right? Because in the community. But they generally kind of stay in the background. Because if you don't stay in the background, then it's not as efficient. If you're in the prominence, then why will the grihasthas listen? Right? Because you kind of have facility like them. You look kind of like them. So therefore, they tend to stay in the background. Because then it's obvious that they're different. They've gone through the ashram. So they have the experience. So no one can tell them, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. At the same time as they're living more of a detached kind of lifestyle, staying out of the way socially. Right? It doesn't mean that they're not prominent in preaching, just socially they're not prominent. You understand? Because socially being prominent, that's the right of the grihasthas. And they don't like anybody infringing on this right. Right? Does that make sense? You know? So then on the spiritual side, they can. Yes?
Or is this the cloth color change in vanaprastha?
Depends on whether they're sapatni or nirapatni. Right? That's all. If they're with the wife, then it stays the same. If they're without, then they can wear something. It just depends. Vanaprastha doesn't mean automatically without wife, that you're brahmachari. No, it's generally it means husband and wife. So if their lifestyle is compatible, or if, how you say, let's say the companionship is compatible, or the wife is comfortable in that more simplified environment, then they would generally stay together. Right? Because then, you know, it's because they know how to support each other, so much can get done. Does that make sense? So it has an advantage. If the camaraderie or the companionship isn't very strong, then they might be less comfortable. Or the wife is more comfortable being in the more opulent environment that the children are providing. Then like that. But it doesn't mean that as vanaprastas that they don't interact. But if they're going to interact, then better they wear white. If they're not going to interact, then they wear saffron. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's simple. It's not complicated. We like to make it complicated, of course, but it's actually a very simple system. So, yeah. Household life is for one who is attached, and the vanaprastha and sannyasa orders of a life for those who are detached from material life. The brahmachari ashram is especially meant for training both the attached and detached. Right? So a properly trained brahmachari can do either. So the only difference between the naishtika and the upakurvana is the assimilation of the understanding of detachment. That's the only difference. Not in knowledge, not in character. Character is the same, knowledge is the same, skills are the same. It's just a matter of how much one has assimilated the detachment. Right. To give charity is one of the householder's main functions. Right? Because before when it said vaishyas, now who vaishyas are what?
Grihasthas.
The grihasthas, right? So as vanaprastas, they're not necessarily making money. You know, it doesn't mean that they're not giving some charity, but the point is the grihasthas are the ones who are generating facility. So they're the ones who give in charity. Right? Like that. And he should be prepared to give in charity at least 50% of his hard-earned money. Right? So here, it means of what's profit. Right? Does that make sense? Like, it has to be, I have to pay, there's less profit. So someone could complain, no, but you can reinvest everything and so there's nothing left. But the point is if there's nothing left, he gets also nothing. So it's not that he's getting more than you. Right? He invested everything this year, so he's only keeping $10,000 like that. So that means there's $5,000. Like that. You understand? So that's why you don't work on gross.
Yes.
It's what is profit, because when you're dealing in things, you may have to invest. You know, it's like you're taking care of the farm, you have to fix the fences, or you have to do something else, you need grain silos, you need so many different things. The business need to invest and build it up to a certain thing. So that means profit is less, you pay less tax. But by doing that, then later on, then they're going to make plenty of money, so then you'll get your tax in, especially on the governance. It's a long-term thing. So if the guy's investing for 3 to 5 years and there's hardly anything for tax, it doesn't matter because after 5 years, he'll be making oodles of money, right? So then the tax is more. It balances out because it's not everybody at one time is investing, right? The whole country, everyone's only investing. You know what I'm saying? There's always someone. So you're always getting money from one end and always getting less from another, right? So, and then here, is then the charity, then they're always giving according to what they're making. They make more, they give more charity. They make less, they give less charity. Yes?
Brahmins don't pay tax.
No.
The ones that are working, like today, the ones that are working, do they pay tax?
Now they pay tax, but they shouldn't be working. Why are they working? You know what I'm saying? Why are they working? They could be doing full-time puja, they could be doing training courses, they could be, you know, how you say, doing some scars, this and that, but nobody gives them anything. So that's why they have a job. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then if you have a job, that you know, in other words, you work by the local custom, so the local custom is whoever has a job gets to take tax. Right? Okay. A brahmachari or student should perform sacrifices. A householder should give charity, and a person in the retired life or in the renounced order should practice penances and austerities. Right. So sacrifice means voluntarily giving up one's own comfort for someone else's or that higher comfort. Right. Means pleasing the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the practice. And so therefore, naturally then, those things that are very nicely or directly seen in that way, doing yajnas, doing the deity worship, doing samkirtan, doing these things, then it's a prominent lifestyle. But it's the whole lifestyle of sacrifice, not just those aspects. Right? So that means that's what they're offering, right? So grihasthas, you know, complain and give about charity 50%, but the brahmachari gives 100%. Yeah, because there's nothing for himself. So, but, you know, he doesn't have money, but he gives effort. Right? And that's the whole point. Time or money. So he gives the time. Like that. Right? So that means if you've given all your time like that, then that way you'll be able to, in sadhana, your practice at sadhana, so you'll be good at that. Your practice at working for others, so therefore you'll be able to do things, take care of the community and family. Right? And the element of charity you'll be able to do because you've always given everything away anyway. Is that? Okay, penances and austerities.
Wasn't you whenever the vice has to be trained to give in charity, like, let go?
it's like this. You get a big piece of plywood, right? Okay? Fix it nicely. Okay? And make a hole in it just big enough that you can stick your hand through. Okay? Yeah. Then on the other side, you have a bag of gold coins. Okay. And then you tell the Vaishya, he can have that. So he reaches his hand through, grabs the coins. But once you grab the coins, it's too big, you can't get your hand in. Then you come on the other side with a stick and start beating him. Right? So at some point, he's got to connect that. If I let go, life will be better. Then he said,
it's going to be some long days.
Yeah, so eventually then you get.
That's how they catch the monkeys, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so, like that. That's the difference. The Vaishya is more smart. He learns to let go.
You have to beat them.
Yeah, and then when you let go, then he walks around. Or he has a friend make the hole bigger. Okay. Those are the general functions of all the ashrams, or orders of life on the path of self-realization. In the brahmachari life, the training is sufficiently imparted so that one may understand that the world as property belongs to the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. So it's never one's own. So in other words, a grihastha, it's a quota. You have your quota to work with. So if it's within your prescribed duties, that quota may be very great. Right? It's just a matter of you perform your duties, whatever comes from that. If it's great, nice. If it's small, then it doesn't matter. Right? I mean, it may matter to you, but I mean, just saying that's the way it goes. Yeah. No one, therefore, can claim to be the proprietor of anything in the world. Right? That's why the point of the detachment. Right? Therefore, in the life of a householder, which is a sort of license for sex enjoyment, one must give in charity for the service of the Lord. Everyone's in it, because the sex enjoyment, when it's being sick, it's all the different, because there's dhanam, janam, sundari. That's the subtle aspect of it. That's why he's saying it's the whole material world is martyaloka. I mean, that's the world of death. Maitunyaloka. Is that it's all about gross and subtle sex, right? It means wealth, followers, right? Praise, position, all these different things. That's what it's all about. Yes. So then those things are then given, how you say, to the Lord. So the real charity is everything's given to the Lord. Does that make sense? Just like Karna, he's famous. No one could give in charity like he would give. How much you'd give him, he'd give it away. Mm-hmm. Right? So then from that you have all your pious credits. That's what you can take with you. You can't take anything else with you. Right? But at the end of the battle, then Krishna came up to him in the form of Brahman, you know, asking for charity. He says, I have nothing. Right? So he says, but you have the credits for all the charity you've given. So you give that, you know, so then, that makes sense. So you know, that's the whole point, is that the charity is that giving everything up for the Lord. So his charity became perfect because then the results of the charity were given to Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, so for householders who are doing things like, you know, puja and then, you know, preaching and things like that, this 50% rule doesn't really apply.
No, it's a matter of, the point is charity should be given. 50% is given as a benchmark.
Right.
But charity is there because you'll get things.
Yeah.
And so things should be shared.
Redistributed to.
Yeah, so it's just like what it mentioned before, food, you know, is a major area of charity. You know, food, clothes, we only think of money as charity. Mm. You know, but food and facilities is also charity. You know, does that make sense? So,
yes.
Anything that's more, you should give that in charity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're using all your profit for preaching, then is that?
Then it's done. As long as it's there, you know what I'm saying. The point is that is charity if you're putting your own money into your preaching programs. But if the temple is programmed and you're just showing up and all that, you've given time, but not necessarily anything else. But time still is also something of value. It's also a charity. So you have to take the whole thing total together. Like Bhaktisiddhanta says in the Thakura, you know, his point, chanting Hare Krishna, is everything connected with chanting Hare Krishna. So it's the chanting of japa, and it's all those things that supported that. You know, the temple, the preaching, the deity worship, serving Vaishnavas, studying, all that's in support of that. So for him, everybody in the temple was chanting 64 rounds. Someone complained that, no, this one's not chanting 64 rounds, meaning on his beat. He's saying, no, from my vision, they're all chanting 64. So as long as they're fully engaged all day and doing service, right, they're all doing 64. So he had that minimum of 16 rounds, you know, on the beads and 48 rounds as service. You know, so that's what we need to keep in mind. Like that. So that's the other aspect of 16 rounds is minimum. So there should be service along with that.
So was there anyone actually chanting 64 rounds?
Yeah, no, there would be plenty who would be chanting 64 rounds. But his point was, is if some were saying they're so busy serving, they're not chanting 64 rounds. So his point is, no, they are. But 16, then they would do a minimum. Does that make sense? So all that can be counted together, but it's a matter of humility because it doesn't belong to you anyway. If there's pride, then naturally, then that's a problem. So, okay, so it seems we finished here. Okay, so let's stop here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nityananda Govardhana ki